Welcome to the Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alicia.
Have you ever felt like you didn't belong?
A misfit, outcast?
Too loud, or even like a black sheep? Us too.
Yep. Black Sheep Believers is a podcast of honest conversations for those seeking, questioning, and deepening their relationship with Jesus.
So let's have the hard but real conversations around feeling misunderstood and misplaced, but feeling fully accepted by the God that created us. Welcome home, Black Sheep. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Black Sheep Believers podcast. We're your hosts, Jess, and that's my pal Alicia right there.
Coming in hot today.
We're coming in real hot. So I'm going to give you just a quick background. For many of you, you are listening to this and have no context of the fact that we recorded on video. And we are not in the same room. No, ma'am. We are not. We are in our own homes today filming. Some of it is a childcare workaround where our children are in front of screens so that we can talk to you. But the other is we have had some seriously irritating technological issues to the point, y'all, that we almost pressed pause on filming for a bit until we could figure them out. I met with an audio engineer this week. Yes, I did. And what we've learned, these are some really good fun facts for you. The first thing is not all equipment on Amazon is the same. That some things that you buy off the Amazons, some of those things are cheap things made not for your computer. And so would you agree? Would you agree, Alicia? I don't want to cut you off, but.
No, I would totally agree. And I think it's just, I think here's where we're landing, guys. We're trying to do a really hard thing really well.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're trying to do that, you get caught up in,
right,
is it perfect? Is it good enough? Is it this? And I think Jess and I both kind of sat down and were like, it's about the Lord. Whatever needs to buff out, he will. We're going to obviously keep showing up and we're going to keep trying to make this podcast everything that we know it can be. But at the end of the day, like, we read all of your comments. We have gotten, it's been pretty amazing over the last week or so. We've gotten hundreds and hundreds of comments of people who are just listening to the podcast and it's ministering to them or they're sending it to other people. And that just gives me a lot of encouragement that it's okay if you show up and you're not perfect, because like the Lord is going to make it what it needs to be.
Come on, girl. So
that's what we're doing here. We are being very transparent, and sometimes you might see us filming in a different way. We're figuring it out. We're figuring it out. We're also, like, I think this goes to everything. Sometimes the dupe isn't, it's a dupe because it's a dupe.
Yeah. The Lululemon leggings, the dupe she checks out. When it comes to microphones and podcasting software, don't go for the dupe. That's what we're saying. That's like at the end of the day, we're going to show up in perfect people, maybe sounding like we don't have it all together. And the truth is, you're right. We don't. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. What are we talking about today, Jess?
Yeah, we're talking about, is God talking to me? And to add layers to this, this is not the first time we have filmed this episode. We had some treasures in the episode you'll never hear. You know why? Because the raw audio, the actual audio, we can't understand what we're saying. So you can't understand what we're saying, so we can't share it with you. So we're going to try to, she and I black out when we film. Would you agree? Like, when we get the microphones on and we ask the Lord to just like use us in this way, in this time, we don't usually like recall how the conversations go. So in this case, we don't know what we said. We just know it was good.
It was so fire. Like, that's all I know.
So good. But we get to just like revisit this conversation knowing that the Lord is just going to show up and be here. So the question is God talking to me? Yeah. I think a lot of people are, they don't always know if God is talking to them. I also think, and, you know, Alicia and I, one of the things that we love about having these conversations is because we come from very different vantage points, right? So with Alicia, she went, and I'm speaking on your behalf, and I'm going to let you talk for yourself too, but she went a really long time hearing voices that weren't God. So when she heard God, it was very palpable and clear. Okay. Some of you have been so integrated into Christian culture that when it came to hearing the voice of God, someone told you what that sounded like, and it might not have been the voice of God. It might have been an egotistical, authoritative pastor. It might have been an overbearing parent. It might have been a friend with indigestion. And what I'm saying is that the voice of God sometimes doesn't, we have to be able to discern what the voice of God is. And that's basically the big takeaway today. So thank you so much for listening. Just kidding. There's more, but I would just say, like, listening to the voice of God can be tricky, and it's usually where a lot of people have either been deeply hurt by the church because somebody has said that the voice of God told them something and it goes to you and now it causes you pain or trauma, or it's a straight up lie that wasn't from him. And so it can be tricky, but when we really hear the voice of God, let's like shift gears a little bit. When we really hear the voice of God, it can set us free. It can change our life. It can transform the way that we think, behave, and live. And so it's really important that we know what God sounds like and we know what to do when we hear him. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that this is a really good thing to kind of sit on all the time in your relationship, whether you are brand new to faith or you have been following Jesus your entire life. It's like any relationship. Good communication can quickly get off course when you are curating your own narrative. And normally when you're curating your own narrative, it's because you're speaking out of feelings a lot. And as we know, feelings are like very fleeting things and they can really influence us in a lot of different ways. But in my experience, and what I kind of want to talk about first is, you know, hearing God and heeding God's wisdom and heeding God's discernment, there is something to it that's set apart. And let's talk about that first, Jess. Like, what about the voice of God sounds different than maybe your own narrative or your own feelings about something? Like, how can someone separate that and really hone in to like, okay, what is God actually speaking to me in this moment?
Yeah. That's such a great question. And honestly, I mean, a part of me wants to turn it back on you because of the, and only because you went a really long time without ever hearing God's voice. And then one day you heard God's voice. And it was like such a radical experience for you. I could tell you with my experience, I don't know that I remember a first time hearing God's voice. I will say, you know, when they talk about like the dollar bill and knowing like what the counterfeit is, you have to like really know what the, you know, what the true dollar looks like so that you can see what isn't the, you know, the counterfeit. I would say I really, in some ways, I got to know what sounds like me and I got to know what sounds like him. I would say when it sounds like me, it still sounds very familiar because it's the voice that I hear all the time. Mm-hmm. When it sounds like me, it's usually, reactive. Mm-hmm. I'm usually wanting some sort of fairness in a situation that might not warrant fairness. It usually benefits me. It's impulsive. Mm-hmm. And when it's not me, and maybe it's the other guy, right? Like when it's the enemy, it's usually sped up. Like it you got to hurry up and do something, you know, like snap, got to do it. Got to do it now. If you don't do it, you're going to miss it. If you don't do it, there's an urgency to the enemy's voice. There's an accusation to the enemy's voice. When the Lord talks to me, he's very specific, in some ways, like especially when it comes to like, if I do something wrong, it's a very specific thing that he's asked me, like, you spoke in a way that didn't honor me in this conversation. When it's the enemy, he's saying, you're a terrible person. Yeah. No one's going to like you. It's an accusation. It's a broad accusation. So the broad strokes of shame, that's not from the Lord. Self-preservation, that's from me. Self-preservation, self-elevation, self-helping. I can do it on my own terms, the way that I want it. That's for me. And then the God part is like a whole thing. It's like a whole other thing that's so I've got like scriptures on, but because there are voices, there's like lots of voices that we could be listening to. And those voices can tell us, you know, so many things. But I think those are the three voices that we hear the most. Also, one other thing, I'll just say that the voice that I hear usually stems from a message that I heard from somebody else that I believe. So sometimes it's not just my voice. It's a voice that has told me something and now I've inherited it as my own. So it could be a voice that I heard as a child, and maybe not even just from like my family of origin, but just, you know, I was, you know, I had a friend group and this friend group thought this thing, or I'm a female and this is what I saw in the media. And so this is what I need to believe about myself. Right. Like think about
right on the money there.
You know what I mean? So there's so many like different things that I have inherited, but I think if we can listen to the voice and discern, is this me and the old patterns and ways that I've thought, is this an attack from the enemy who wants to steal, kill and destroy? Or does this voice sound different than those voices?
Yes. Oh, that's good. And I love how you laid that out, because I think, and probably everybody listening right now is like going back and they're like, oh yeah, that was that. It's such a like spiral sometimes that happens. And I think everyone can really resonate with that spiral. And it's hard to pull yourself out of the spiral. But I think that's where, when you have room for God to intervene, when you're holding that space, I know for sure, you know, I don't, if you go back to episode 2, you can listen to my testimony. Like the first time I heard the voice of God, it was so different than anything I'd ever heard that it actually made me nervous. And when you hear in the Bible, the fear of God, which breaking down translation, it's the awe of God. I can vibe on that, because that's exactly what I felt. It was something that was so true and so real. I knew that from that point on, everything about my previous narrative had crashed in that moment, because it was just real and it was just true. Now, you know, being 2 years in to, you know, having a relationship with God, I've had to really work on hearing God, because that's something that happens too. When you maybe have a really radical experience with God, you think that's how he talks to you all the time. So you're like, all right, like knock me off my feet again. And then you almost kind of get into this relationship with him of like, show me a sign, show me a wonder. You think of talking to God in a really earthly perspective, which is like when we are conversating with one another, it's like we want direct, we want instant gratification, and then we want proof. God is not going to have that same relationship with you, because not only is he trying to guide you and he's trying to speak to you, he's also trying to grow you at the same time. Yeah. And if anybody knows anything, when you just immediately get the answer, there's not a lot of growth that happens to arriving on that. Like you can't chat GPT your questions to Jesus.
Wow.
It just don't roll like that. So I know for me, an example of hearing God's voice that wasn't, you know, and kind of where I was at and the intensity that I was at originally, like the Lord had to talk to me like that. He had to be that direct with me, because I had no relationship with him and I had no understanding of how to access him and how to encourage my relationship with him. So I had to learn that not every single type of communication with the Lord is going to be like that. Sometimes it's really quiet. Sometimes I think, you know, Jesus is never leaving you and he's never forsaking you, but sometimes he's quiet because this is a relationship and he wants you to come a little closer, because mm-hmm. instead of yelling at you, he wants to whisper it to you. He wants right. to give you an opportunity
right.
to hear his voice in maybe a quieter way. And for me, one of the first like real lessons that I learned in that is when I first came to Jesus, I would always pray. I'd be like, Lord, I just want to be close to you. I just want to be close to you. Hmm. And I started, and this wasn't an audible voice, but I started having this feeling and this thought on my heart that I needed to quit my job and quit my company and go pour into my family, be a stay-at-home mom. That was the complete opposite of anything that I wanted to do at that time.
Wow.
But it just kept coming up and it kept coming up and it kept coming up. And so in my very naive relationship with Jesus, I was like, well, if I keep having this is obviously not for me, because nothing about my ego wants me to stop doing what I've done for 15 years and worked really hard for. Like, that's not me.
Right.
So I think sometimes that's a way that God is trying to communicate with you, is that it will be the opposite of what your ego wants. And instead of screaming it to you, he's going to gently keep putting it on your heart until you've kind of gathered enough of that you're like, maybe I should take this to you.
Right.
Maybe I should kind of be obedient here. So, and I also think everyone kind of communicates with Jesus in their relationship in a really unique way, because he's so thoughtful.
Right.
That he knows how you communicate.
Right.
You know, so, yes. So for me, a big communication learning with Jesus was accepting that sometimes talking to God and hearing God's voice mm-hmm. was dying to my ego.
Yeah.
And allowing him through my actions to speak to me.
Wow.
Because when I was obedient and I did, you know, end up being a stay-at-home mom, we've talked about this before on the podcast, it was not graceful. There's so many times during this I was like, if this is what you want me to do, I better see a sign. Like, the grace the Lord must have for me.
I know.
Right. For me to demand signs and wonders, but his people have done that forever.
Right.
But when I finally kind of surrendered it and just said, yeah. okay, I do think you're speaking to me, I'm going right. to walk in this obedience.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to wait. I'm going to not try to like intervene here. He completely spoke, because every single thing, not only did I get closer to him, but little things in my life started changing, and they were providing this fulfillment that I never would have thought before. So I think sometimes when you're trying to communicate with God, you have to walk in enough faith in him and enough obedience in what he's asking to even give yourself enough evidence that yes, this is truly what he's trying to say to you.
Yeah, totally. I would also say, think about, and obviously we're moms, loved everything that you said, cosign, everything that you say. So as moms, like, you know, when your kids are like really chaotic, they're going crazy, and you really need them to understand something, you're not going to yell it. Like, you're going to get them to calm their bodies, regulate their bodies. And then you're going to say it directly and succinctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not while they're going crazy, because then you're not going to hear it. They're not going to understand it.
Yeah.
The Lord wants to quiet our minds and our bodies. And he actually, the power of the Holy Spirit does the regulating for us, right? Like, it's, mm-hmm. we just have to posture our hearts at times, just be still
yeah.
for the Lord. There are so many cognitive studies and psychological studies around solitude, but Jesus set that example of the power of solitude and its connectedness to regulation. But it goes back to even how he communicated with God and how he knew his purpose, his calling, what God was going to ask him to do, he oriented his whole day starting with silence and solitude before the Lord. It's a spiritual practice. It's part of the formative discipline, which is a word we don't like to use, but it is a really important, practice, routine. And the Lord's not asking for us to get 3 hours before him every day like Jesus did. But at some point, if you really want to hear from the Lord, there's something really powerful about silencing yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, just silencing yourself in a quiet place. For me, it's just those few minutes before I get out of bed. I take some deep breaths, and sometimes God talks, but really it's my posture and awareness of knowing that I can't force him to speak, but I can position myself to be ready to hear him.
Mm. So almost like asking God to enter your mind.
Yeah.
Before you do.
Yeah, girl. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. So, there are like three really important, like, I would just say points of reference for me when it comes to hearing from God. The first is that, I will continue to go back to the Garden of Eden because it was the ideal that God had for us. And it's also the struggle that we have today will always point back to it. So there's no reason not to just like recall to our minds what God intended, which was complete unity between men and women who were whole before the Lord, and what has kept us from being whole before the Lord, which is the sin of thinking that we could see with our eyes and think that it is good and take for ourselves.
That's good. Okay. I want to jump in here just a second. Can I jump in here just a second?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
I want to talk about this with you.
Yeah.
Then I want you to
go back to it. Sure.
Love where we're going.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to throw a comparison out there. As someone who followed a lot of New Age spiritual practices.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can get confusing because I was used to holding space for quietness because I was like very devout in my practice of meditation. Okay. When I was meditating before, it was silence with my own thoughts. And I used a lot of that time to provide evidence for what I was thinking, why it was right. Because you're just in there coaching yourself. And it can go all over the place. And then on top of that, you know, we're kind of in, I was definitely in a culture that was constantly looking for signs to validate what I was thinking.
Aren't we all?
Right?
Yeah.
And so we kind of like come from that culture, no matter like if you're like specifically into certain practices of that, but like that's kind of what we're in.
Yes.
So help me and help everybody else. If that's what we're used to doing in our quiet time, how do we streamline that to get more in relationship with him?
Yeah.
I wanted to throw that out there because as you were saying it, I was thinking it and I was like, I struggle with that. So I would love to hear.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so good. Okay. So let me repeat back to you what I heard what you say, just so that I know how to answer it. What you're saying is, meditation in the New Age practice and generally mindfulness as it's become more culturally acceptable is the quieting of our own minds to hear our own preferences, basically to like elevate our own preferences. Yes. Yeah. And our own self-helpness.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And when we quiet ourselves in relation to God, we're actually redirecting our attention completely away from ourselves.
Okay.
So that's the distinction, is that when it comes to spirit-led and spirit-filled meditation, it is being mindful of Him and not being mindful of us.
That's good.
We benefit from being mindful of Him. We are blessed when we're mindful of Him. We are transformed when we're mindful of Him. The actual goodness that we desire comes from being mindful of Him. He cascades that goodness onto us.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
But how do you orient your mind and your body onto God? Like, that's the question that I have. Like, when we come to, if God-centered meditation is something that we want to get better at practicing so that we can hear from Him, we have to know three really important things. So it goes back to what I was just about to say.
Let's go. I'm so
glad. All right. No, perfect. Such a great question. I'm so glad that we pressed pause on what I was about to say. So God had intentions for the human, for humans. And those intentions were specifically that when the time came, He was going to give us the wisdom that we needed so that we could flourish and that we can bless the things, not control, dictate, have authority over everything in all creation, but to bless all creation. Okay. And to be in unity with Him. That was the design. That was the goal. That's the end goal. New creation, new birth. It's all going back to the Eden story. So what happened was we saw what we thought was good and we took it. Mm-hmm. Now we were influenced by a dark power that was a serpent, but throughout all of human history, sin is rooted in us seeing what we think is good and taking it for ourselves. Mm. We have been indoctrinated with that principle of seeing what we think is good and taking it for ourselves. We've done it in the name of God. We've killed millions of people on behalf of God in the Christian Crusades throughout even the Old Testament, where we've done horrific things in the name of God.
In the name, yeah.
Because we saw what we thought was right in our own eyes and we took. Men started doing this immediately after Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. Cain saw that his brother Abel was more favored than God, or more favored in God's eyes, and he took his life. And then later, a bunch of men thought women looked real cute. And they saw what they thought was good in their own eyes, and they took. And throughout the entire Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament, that verbiage, seeing what they thought was good in their own eyes and taking for themselves, is rooted in all kinds of horrific sin. Mm. And it's what has caused all of us to not know what the voice of God is. Mm. No. Because somebody else has seen what they thought was good in their own eyes and taking. And they've said it to us. They've done it to us. We do it. We do it all the time. In our relationships, in our decisions.
And if you don't have an actual like pulse and working relationship with Jesus, it's right. So easy. Like I've had that experience where I'm like, well, who am I to say they're wrong? I don't know because I don't know Him. I don't know because I don't know Him.
Right. So I think for us too, the first thing that I've just noticed, the more and more that I get before the Lord, the more and more I practice meditative prayer, the first thing I have to go to is an awareness of His bigness and an awareness of how jacked I am in the way that I think and I behave. If I don't practice that humility of knowing where I'm oriented in this relationship, not to minimize myself. The goal is not to minimize myself as much as it is to maximize Him, and that maximizing Him, recognizing what He designed for us, how good He is. When we do that, it does put us in right perspective and cause us to do things like Jeremiah did, which is to fall on their face and say, I'm a man of unclean lips, right? But we have to recognize that people are jacked. And the people that I'm talking about are you and me. We are jacked. I am jacked. So when I get before the Lord, I have to recognize that there's a big chasm between me and my seeing for myself what I think is right and taking it for myself and the way that He sees what is right and what is good and giving to us what he knows is good. And so we have to orient ourselves first, knowing like we are jacked, people are jacked. When we have the discernment to know when somebody is seeing for themselves what they think is right in their own eyes and taking it, my goodness gracious, it sets us free from believing what everybody says and does. And like the discernment that comes from knowing when someone is doing that, as opposed to what God is actually doing, seeing what is good and doing for us, when we can set those parameters around it, we're able to disagree with people and leaders in authority and discern that's not right. Uh-huh. We can question, we can like hold ourselves accountable. We can hold each other accountable. Like there's so much power in knowing that. So the first thing that we need to know is that all of us, we're all jacked. The second is Jesus was so clear on what it looks like to walk with God, but he used illustrations and it was also like kind of strange how he said it, but he referred in John 15, he referred to himself and to God as the vine. And that we're the branches. And abiding is going with, walking with, being with, inviting God with you all the time. And so there's something to be said about us not having these like super, I mean, I'm not saying not to have a quiet time or anything like that. But for us to compartmentalize God, to say we're going to talk to God in the morning and then we're going to do what we want to do during the day and then we're going to feel really guilty about what we do during the day at night. That's like not even how he designed us. He designed us to wake up in the morning, remembering his goodness, acknowledging his power, acknowledging his work in our life, putting in right perspective where we sit in this narrative. In this relationship, that we're desperate for him because we are naturally bent to see what we think is good in our own eyes and to take. And then I'm just going to ask you to help me throughout the day, just all day long. I'm going to ask you to show me what you're seeing, help me to have your perspective all day, and then really work that out with him throughout the day. And so abiding in me, and this is John 15, it says, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. Because of our own sin, might choose other vines. Those vines aren't going to bring us the life that we want. So I am the true vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm. And so we need to learn to practice abiding. And that's not a term that's used anywhere outside the Bible, I don't think. So abiding is just being alongside him.
Whoa, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Because I think what you're hitting on is something that when I talk to people who are unbelieving in Jesus,
yeah,
and they cannot understand why I believe in Jesus.
Right.
That is usually, that's, we can agree on a lot of things, but that's the little part that I feel right. like creates the la resistance, if you will.
Yes.
Which is, a lot of people say, okay, well, if you're walking with Jesus and Jesus is helping you be this better person, then how come when I've come in contact with people who followed Jesus before, that's not what I experienced? And it, in their minds, makes it have no weight, and it doesn't make sense to them. And then on top of that, they say, okay, so you're not actually like showing me what you say that this right. God does.
Right.
And then you're saying like a lot, and a lot of people, myself included, I did not want to admit like any bad parts about myself. I didn't want that because I think I had a little bit of jadedness in my heart with a lot of people who were Christian people that were already telling me like, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. And then I was yes. like, well, why? I'm not bad. Like it's this conflict that we're in. And that's yes. so good, Jess, because that abiding thing is directly it correlates with that faith thing.
Yeah.
That's where people are getting stuck. That's where people are
getting stuck. And that's where we're messing up. Like as Christians, like we're totally jacking with people's mind when we don't abide, when we do things the way that the world does them. And when it's, I mean, abiding with God, I think right now in the West being, you know, even you could group Europe into it too, but I mean, like, the church that's first world church on this side of the globe, okay? We have, like, really two very polarizing camps that you can be in that are saying God talks to, there's one camp that's like, judgment. We got to separate ourselves. We've got to condemn. We have to do the condemning that God does. Although he doesn't condemn, right? So we take for ourselves this like judgment seat, and we tell everybody that they're wrong and they're bad and they're going to go to all these awful places and God doesn't love them. So there's like that one camp that we just like, we have to live different than the rest of the world, but we also have to resent them and have contempt for them, and we actually can't love them. That's one camp. And then there's this other camp that's saying, no, we got to love them, which means we have to accept everything that they do, which means that even if it doesn't go with what the Bible says, even if they do things that don't align with what the Bible says, with what God, what Jesus taught, let's say that, not just what the Bible says, because the Bible, obviously what the Bible says is like sacred and beautiful and good, but I want to be really specific that the Bible is a collection of what people say and a bunch of people within the Bible that were hearing from God's voice, or that was God himself through Jesus. They were saying that there's a way in which we ought to live that that's very countercultural, that does not look like the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's two camps right now that are saying this is what abiding with God looks like.
Mm. Wow.
And they're both wrong. They're actually both wrong. Mm. They're actually seeing what they think is right in their own eyes, and they're taking for themselves. It's all rooted in what you think God sounds like and not actually hearing the voice of God. The voice of God will condemn all of us. Not condemn. That's not the word. The voice of God will convict all of us in the way that we live. And if you are in one camp saying everybody is wrong, it's going to root in you an arrogance and anger towards the people that God's called you to love. And when you're on the other side of this spectrum, you are going to think that God looks like how you desire. And God doesn't bless all the desires that we have. Because some of our desires are rooted in self-preservation and sin. They're both wrong. Abiding in the vine will have characteristics of true awareness of our own sin and of repentance. There's going to be a daily reconciling, a balancing of our own checkbooks. Every single day they're going to be like, man, I fell short today in living the way that you intended for me to live. And that doesn't bring to me a disappointment in myself. That's just an awareness of how much more I need you tomorrow. Mm. And you're going to course correct me tomorrow. And you still love me despite how imperfect I was today, in the same way that we do that to our children. Right? And he's going to turn dials as he sees them in our hearts and our minds and the way that we interact with people. And what comes out of walking with the Lord and listening to the voice of God are really beautiful things. And do you mind if I read some Bible verses?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So, there's the big third point. The first thing I said was that people are jacked, including us. We need to be aware of our brokenness. The second is that we need to abide in the vine. There's a third point. I'll get to it in a little bit. John 14:26, it says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, and that's who we are hearing from God. When we're hearing from God, it's through this spiritual, counterpart of the three facets of God. There's God the Father, there's God the Son who came onto this planet. He lived a perfect life. We have no evidence of his body because he rose from the dead. And then right after he came back and he showed to 500 people physically in different places all around a really specific region of the world, he showed up and revealed himself to five different eyewitnesses. And then he said, there's something coming, and this thing is going to be more powerful. And then the day of Pentecost, which came several days after his ascension, when he stopped showing up in physical form, okay, ascension, when he just like stopped showing up in physical form, then this spirit fell on his people, the people who saw him and who lived with him and who saw him after he died. And it felt like a fire. And they experienced supernatural power. It happened a few times in the Hebrew Bible, and very specifically. So there are times where God worked outside of, you know, his more formal designation of the spirit. But from then on, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and receive in our heart that God raised and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will experience this inheritance or this inheritance of what's called the Holy Spirit. When people have said that they've encountered Jesus, consistently throughout all of history, in every people group, tribe, nation, and tongue, no matter what language, people have used this sense of the Holy Spirit. They have described it the same way. Receiving the Holy Spirit. They've described it the same way. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to turn it on you. When you felt like you accepted Jesus as Lord, what did it feel like?
Sorry. I'm just taking a second because okay. Girl, you are just... Maybe we filmed today because you're just supposed to minister to me today. I'm going to take a second. I'm going to get myself together. All right. So here's the thing. First off, this is my biggest advice, is get yourself a person that you cannot just lean on and not just have someone to support you. Have someone that will turn you back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I have to tell everyone that I really have that in Jess. And the last 24 hours, as you can see, I literally rolled out of bed today and Jess pulled me into this podcast because I did not want to film today because I am really going through some stuff in terms of trying to listen to the Lord and trying to walk with him and coming into a lot of things that I don't think you expect when you sign up to be God's child. There's so many things that come your way that you don't really think of. And one of them has been that I've kind of come, sorry, I'm going to try not to ramble here. No, first thing I want to say though is like, I want to give so much thanks for Jess because the last 24 hours, I love you, girl. I love you. And I'm so glad that you literally pulled me out of bed and put a microphone in front of my face when I didn't want to, because I think this is going to perfectly kind of roll into this. When I first came to Jesus, it seems so silly now, but it's very much in my character to prove my worth. And sometimes I would try to prove my worth to Jesus, which is hilarious. But I would come and I'd be like, yeah, Lord, I'm really tough. Like I can take it on the chin. I'm really tough. And on top of that, like you back me in a corner and I stand up for what I believe in. And I kind of like petered for a long time with Jesus of like, look, Lord, look at all the things I can do. And over time, what he's revealed to me is those things that you think make you worthy and make you valuable. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're good because you are good because I created you in my image, which is good. But the things that you're going to be able to do through me, not you, through me, are going to be absolutely great. They're going to be beyond your wildest dreams.
Yes.
And I had a situation yesterday where I'll be straight up. I got really backed in a corner about my faith and my belief. And I literally had a panel of people just firing off on me. And I felt it inside that thing that I think makes me strong, which is I was getting ready to defend and I was getting ready to be strong and I was getting ready to be tough. But because I have a slight experience with, like you said, not just making space for the Lord, not just like trying to listen to the Lord, but I check in with the Lord all day long.
That's it.
In that moment, I took a second. Yeah. And it was so quick and it was so quiet. And I just said, Holy Spirit, this is going to sound funny, but I told the Holy Spirit, I'm like, Holy Spirit, can you drive, please?
Yeah.
Can you drive right now? Like,
Jesus, take that wheel. Take that wheel. Yes.
That's really what I said in that moment, because for a second I thought, depend on yourself. But I know enough in 2 years that what I was getting into, I am not equipped for. He is. And what happened was absolutely shocking, because all of that toughness, all of that, I'll stand up for what I believe is right. I didn't do none of that. I sat quietly and respectfully. And I showed respect to people who were not necessarily respecting me. And I showed tolerance when my natural instinct is to not back down. And to show you how strong I am, I didn't. I just sat there.
You just sat there.
I just sat there. And in that moment, God was talking to me.
That's right.
And he was saying, actually, I need you to be great right now. And how you're great is when I am working through you.
That's right.
And he was, because there's nothing about myself that makes me want to sit and be quiet. And I'm really glad that I took that moment. It was still painful, and my brain is still trying to work that out.
Yeah.
The last 24 hours, that internal spiral of my thoughts and my feelings trying to overtake what I actually know is true in my heart, which is, I'm really happy that I had that experience, because it was an experience to the best of my ability, try to be the presence of Jesus.
That's right.
Not the presence of myself.
That's right.
And so everything you're saying today is ringing so true.
That's right.
And sometimes I think we're all guilty. We really want this grand spoken word to us.
Yeah.
When in actuality, the things that are really great, the great things that God tells you, sometimes it's just, hey, be quiet here.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah.
And yeah, so everything you're saying today, girl, is like, it's filling my heart up. And I know that like he is speaking through you to me. And I hope that I know there's other people that are going to listen to this.
You're sweet. Yeah. Well, glory to God. I mean, he's trying to say something to us. Like he's trying to say something to us. Yeah. I would say 100% God spoke to you yesterday. And he spoke to you by saying, remain silent. Because one day, a long time ago, Jesus stood in front of a bunch of people who thought he was a heretic and who berated him. And he did the same thing.
Yeah.
And so to me, I feel like that is a very palpable example of you just hearing the voice of God. But it's the daily practice that you've been doing for the last 2 years that first acknowledged, like, I'm not strong without, he's my source of strength. And you've been walking with him regularly. He's been telling you, you know, go this way, go that way. And you've also fumbled through it, right? That there are days where you come home at the end of the day, you reconcile your day and you think, oh man, I kind of tripped up on that. And so I think it's our practice, our choosing to practice every day this walking with God. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us and when he speaks to us, it feels like freedom. It's concise. It's clear. It's peaceable. James talks about how it's impartial and sincere. That's when the wisdom of above is first peace-giving, impartial. So it's not choosing myself or my preferences above somebody else. It's sincere, right? Like there's something very, very powerful about that. And for us to recognize that when the spirit can choose very often to remain silent. In the same way that Jesus said that there were going to be times where don't speak to certain people because it would be pearls before swine. Sometimes he has to say that about us. Sometimes we are going to be so in our own head or are so driven by our own ego that the Holy Spirit chooses not to speak. And sometimes he chooses to speak despite that. And sometimes he chooses to speak through people who are constantly speaking and, you know, operating out of their ego. He gets to decide. That's the biggest next piece, is that we can do all these kinds of things, but only God gets to decide when he wants to speak and when he doesn't. There's no formula. Yes. We're not conning God into talking to us. That's not how God works. God doesn't operate into A plus B always equals C. He operates out of the condition of our heart, which we don't always know. And so we have to be very comfortable with the realization that we don't get to decide when God blesses. We don't get to decide when God is just. We don't get to decide when God speaks. We don't get to decide when God decides to implicit justice. We get to do our part, which is to sit before the Lord, recognizing that we are jacked and he's awesome and that he's made us awesome because he created us. We need to recognize the fact that we have to walk with him all the time, talk to him all the time, check in with him all the time. And in that, we will see fruit of our time with him. And that fruit looks like peace, love, joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the fruit of us abiding with the Spirit of God. That's what we see. We see him at work. And like I said, he gets to talk whenever the heck he wants, guys. We don't get to decide when God talks to us. So sometimes he'll talk in the middle of the night, and sometimes he'll talk right when you're in the middle of having a conversation with a friend who needs your encouragement, but he gets to decide when he talks to you.
You said something yesterday that kind of blew my mind a little bit. When we were talking, you mentioned that like this is an example of like your, I can't exactly what you said, but basically like you're learning how to be like God's warrior. And what's crazy is in my own earthly thoughts and my own perception of what a relationship with God would be like, in my previous thought is like God's warrior is like, I'm gonna tell you the things in his name. But actually when I'm actually walking with him, like part of being God's warrior was literally sitting and being silent and being kind when I didn't really want to be. And like, you want to like be God's warrior. It's always going to be in his intention. Like your strength is going to be his intention, not what you think that you have for yourself.
Girl, that's a good word, babe. And he's also going to teach us this very, very important word, and it's discernment. Wisdom and discernment are on two sides of the same coin. Knowledge can puff us up, right? But the wisdom is putting into practice what the Spirit of God is telling us based on the knowledge that we have. And we have to practice the discernment of knowing when he wants for us to tell the truth, because sometimes he's going to ask us to tell the truth. It's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. And that sucks. He does. He asks us to do that. It's going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to make somebody else uncomfortable. If he asks us to do it, we're going to do it. And sometimes he's going to ask us to do the uncomfortable thing, which is to remain silent when we want to speak up. But it's the discernment of knowing what his voice says and to doing exactly that. Yeah. Okay. So, may the God of hope fill you. This is Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're really listening to the Lord in our daily life, there is a supernatural sense of hope. It comes. It happens. Even on hard days, there's still like this anchored hope of knowing like God's at work. He's doing something. And obviously, you know, we can go back to like yesterday being a really hard day. But even as you were telling me about the situation that you had and the struggles that you're dealing with, I was still really overflowing with hope for you, because I really trust. I've been in situations in the past where people that I care deeply for berated me because I chose Jesus. I don't understand. How can you love this God? Look at all these a-holes out there that say that they love God and they do all these awful things. You want to be like them? And those were really painful conversations because I was like, I can't dispute the fact that those are a-holes. Those are a-holes out there doing really painful things. Like, I can't deny that. But that the Jesus that they're saying that they're doing things on behalf of doesn't sound like that to me. He doesn't look like that to me. He doesn't do that within me. He doesn't cause me to want to do that to you. Mm-hmm. And I was overcome with hope for those people that berated me, that one day came to the Lord.
That's spiritual maturity, my girl.
Okay. Okay. So this is what I want to leave you guys with. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom, meekness, unassumedness, humility, awareness of your own deficiencies and a deep awareness of who God is and an awareness of God's gifts in others. That's also part of meekness, seeing goodness in others. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts, which is usually what our ego is telling us, do not boast and be false to the truth, which is what people do all the time. People speak on God's behalf, even though he's not speaking to them, and they say things on God's behalf that he didn't say to them. And that's what it looks like. False of the truth with selfish ambition and jealousy or bitterness. This is not the wisdom from above, but earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every vile practice. God's people have done that. They do that. But, this is my favorite part. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And what you experienced yesterday, Alicia, was this overwhelming sense of pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere presence of Jesus. That's what you experienced. That was God talking to you. And that's what it sounded like. That's what God sounds like. So walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, rooted and built up in him. What I just read was James 3, 13 through 18. This is my last like admonition. My last encouragement to you is out of Colossians 2. So be rooted in him and established in your faith, abounding with thanksgiving. You're feeling pretty crummy. You don't know if you can hear from God. Say thank you. Focus your efforts on gratitude. Just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to regulate my body just real quick. Thank you, God. And then just wait until you can think of something to be grateful for. That's so good. Just start there. Just start there. Just start. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you just reminded me that you're there. Thank you, God, for the breath that I have in my lungs. Thank you for the air that I'm breathing. I mean, like get as granular as you can in gratitude. If you're really struggling, I can't hear from God. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling taxed. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling depressed. Take a beat. Say thank you. There's something cognitively connected to the neural pathways in your brain that connects gratitude to a healthier way of thinking. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit. Or yourself. Please don't let yourself take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to the human tradition. According to the elemental spirits of the world, do not. And not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him. And you who were dead in your transgressions and of the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together in him, having forgiven us of everything. So just know that on the other side of God talking to you, there's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. There's love. Mm-hmm. There's complete commitment to you.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And also know that in that moment, there's a really natural tendency to isolate. And sometimes that's yourself, and sometimes that's the enemy. And, you know, he is called the Prince of Peace for a reason.
Yep.
And I love what you said there, Jess, because I don't know how many times I've just said, I just want to sit at your feet, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens after that.
Right.
But I know right. that any proximity close to you
yeah.
is good. It's good.
That's it.
Sometimes, and I know for me, for example, this will be cool because I'll look back on this episode and I'll be like, one, very grateful for the friends and the women that are around me that when I try to isolate, they're like, sorry. Sorry, girl. Like that's, and I know that not everyone has that faith-based, readily available community around them. And maybe that might be something that God is trying to speak to you, and that's something that he wants to give you. Because I'll tell you what, like, having boots on the ground, especially when those boots point you back to Jesus, is such a beautiful gift and something that he wants for you as well. And so maybe that's something he's trying to say to you, and definitely something I want to share, that just in this moment, when I'm sitting at Jesus' feet and I don't exactly know what to do next or what he's been telling me or going to tell me, I can do exactly what you said, Jess. I can be grateful just for today that I had a friend that pointed me back to him.
Yeah.
That's good, friend.
So good. Okay. So you're going to acknowledge that you need him, that you need Jesus. You're going to talk to him. You're going to invite him into your thoughts, into your day, into your decision-making, into your choices, into the way that you interact with people, in the way that you drive, in the way that you wait. And he'll talk when he wants. And it will sound like it's right and good.
Even if it's not what you want to hear.
Even if it's not what you want to hear. And doing what he's asked you to do will lead to good for you and for others. Hard. Painful, but good. Let's pray, and then we can wrap this up.
You want me to pray us out?
Yeah, please.
You pray to Sid. I'll pray us out.
Yeah.
Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord, and remind ourselves that you are the Prince of Peace, yeah. and that your peace is available to us, and we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful to be your children. I pray over every single ear listening to this conversation that these words meet someone in whatever season that they're in, and that whether they are in a season of harvesting or planting, that these words don't fall flat.
That's right.
And it leads someone closer and deeper to their relationship with you and to hearing you, Lord. I also pray that anyone that is seeking answers in a season that might be quiet, mm-hmm. that they have faith that those answers will come, and they will come in a way that they can fully understand you, Lord, and that they can know right. that is from you.
Right.
And I just thank you for the very intimate and thoughtful way that you connect your people in these seasons.
Yeah.
And that if anyone is seeking someone like that, Lord, that I pray that they have a change of circumstance and that they can find that community and they can find that support
that
not only just helps them, but directs them back to you, Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, for all of the things you do, for caring about the small things yeah. and the large things and everything in between. And I just love you, Jesus. In your name, we'll always pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us this episode. We hope to see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.